Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Hey everyone, just me at the top of the show to one, thank you for downloading this episode, episode 223 of the podcast, and a big, big thank you to everyone who is Patreon subscribers. Got a whole bunch of new Patreon subscribers, so thank you very much. Hopefully you're enjoying all the top five episodes, and hopefully if you're not a Patreon subscriber, you're enjoying the little sneak previews of them on the Friday. So that's a new thing we're doing now. So every single Friday, about, you know, 8 minutes of the show is going up in your Don't You Know Who I Am feed. Also, if you're parents and you have children aged between like 4 and 10, I have an Instagram page called Josh Earl Kids. That's what it is, at Josh Earl Kids. And every week I'm putting up content for kids in those age groups. And at the minute, I'm currently putting up every single like 10 episodes of my show I did, Oliver Up a Tree. So across 10 weeks, you'll have the whole show there on the feed. So that it would be something to do with your kids. And it's fun. If you are listening to this, go on Apple iTunes, go on Apple Podcasts, give it 5 stars and spread the word. I really, really think these episodes in this lockdown period have been great, and I want more people to listen to them. So if you can give it 5 stars, share it amongst any social media feed you have, that would be excellent. Please enjoy this episode with Liv Hewson, Ben Koshin, Becky Lucas, and Alexi Toliopoulos. Hello and welcome to Don't You Know Who I Am, the podcast that asks who knows whom, who knows what, because who knows why. My name is Josh Earl, and this week I discovered I share my name with an Idaho man whose Twitter handle describes him as a God-fearing husband, cyclone, and agriculturalist. So oh. I'm not sure if he's also fearing cyclones.
he is a cyclone.
Is that what it is? Like, he hasn't given a cyclone a capital, so I'm not sure he's saying he is a cyclone, but... He's a God-fearing husband, a cyclone, and an agriculturalist. I don't know.
Maybe that's just how he feels, like his emotions.
Yeah.
All men are cyclones deep down is my philosophy.
That's right, yeah.
Girls are psychos, guys are cyclones.
I was going to say women are tornadoes and men are cyclones.
Okay.
And I'm a hurricane.
Yeah.
And...
You're a big storm, Liv.
Who are those voices? Let's meet them now. Our first guest shares their name with the front desk lead at Urban Air Adventure Parks in Houston. Can you please welcome, it's Becky Lucas. Yay.
Hello.
Did you hear front desk lead, which I think is just someone who sits at the desk at the front of the... Adventure
Park. They're the lead.
Yeah. and that's how I see myself. I'm sort of the lead of this podcast. Yeah.
Well, everyone number one on the call sheet that I've just done. Yeah. Also joining us is a first timer to the podcast. He shares his name with a professor of maritime studies in Massachusetts. Can you please welcome Ben Koshin? Yeah.
Yay.
Thanks for having me.
Hey,
that
Ben.
That guy sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
Know anything about the sea, Ben?
What was that?
Do you know anything about the sea?
Not much. I know there's a woman called Rebecca Koshin who she's done a few pornography films. Not that I've seen them. I think they're called the Eating Out series.
Oh my god.
They're not pornography. They're just like...
Takeaway.
They're, like, they're just horny like skin flicks.
That's a treatise on al fresco dining, I believe.
And also good for people who are like... They remember this episode in the future, but like, oh, I can't remember exactly what episode it was. I'll Google, oh, Becky was in it and Koshin, and then they'll just come up with that. It'd be great.
Exactly.
Our next guest shares their name with the Roman numerals for 54 Houston. Can you please welcome back to the podcast? It's Liv Houston. Yay.
Hi.
Hey, Liv, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Now, I don't know if other people know this. I'm going to put this on the podcast. You got nominated for an award today. That's pretty cool.
I did.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
What sort of award?
An indie film I did called Under My Skin is premiering at Raindance Film Festival in London this year, and they nommed me for Best Performance, which is really nice.
Oh, congrats.
That's amazing.
That's awesome.
Like a proper real award, not just you won the podcast. That's actually impressive.
Well, I hope to also win the podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to neck nominate you to do the Ice Bucket Challenge. So, big day for Liv.
And finally is a man who, when you type his name into Google, the related searches are his name, podcast, and his name, age. So let's see if we can finally get to the bottom of these two mysteries. Can you please welcome us, Alexi Toliopoulos? Yes.
I will never reveal my age. I will never reveal it. I am somewhere in my 20s, and I am also officially taking this year off from aging. It doesn't count.
Okay.
I'm staying the same age.
He's 29.
I'm not. That actually is a lie, Becky. That's not true. I'm 23.
No, you're not.
But have you ever done a podcast? That's what Google wants
to
know.
I've done several podcasts. I've done several podcasts, including this podcast here today. It is my second podcast for the day.
Oh. Wow.
Our first game today is called Social Media. In this round, I'll read out status updates by the four of you. If you think you know who wrote them, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get it right, a point to the person who actually wrote it. If you're incorrect, so you can't buzz in for your own ones. First question is this one. The Queen's a bitch. Who wrote that?
Liv.
Yes, Liv.
Was that Becky?
That was Becky. Yes, you are correct. Yes, point there for Liv.
Yeah.
What prompted that, Becky?
I think she'd just been being bitchy like in the during
the speech she gave at the end of the year was real bitchy.
Yeah, there's a lot of undertones.
Yeah, she shaded someone. She shaded Camilla. She threw shade.
Yeah. She gave an epic clapback.
All right, question two. Removing a rib so I can put my socks on easier.
Alexi.
Yes, Alexi.
Is that Benny?
You are correct. That is Ben Caution.
I'm glad I got a laugh for that one.
It's good.
I thought about that tweet today, which is sad to admit. I'm thinking about my own tweets on a daily basis.
Were you thinking in I wonder what tweets Josh is going to choose? Or was it,
I was just putting my shoes on and it was real hard today.
You're like, I wish I could remove one of my ribs.
Yeah. I was like, I genuinely want to do it.
Were you proud in that moment today, Ben?
I was real proud, and I was like, I think no one remembers my tweet, so I'm just going to tweet it again.
That's right.
That was my second thought.
Yeah.
You could probably get away with that, or someone would be like, mate, you stole this, and then they discover it was you the first time.
True. And then it's just a disaster. Everyone feels really sad for you, and no one's bringing it up.
Last week on the pod, we outed people stealing tweets. It was it was a good time.
Who stole a tweet?
We had David Hughes, the Perth Twitter guy, not Hughesy, but the one on Twitter who's very funny. And
this is a freaking mind game that you're playing with me right now. I'm lost in this story. You're saying there's a Perth Hughesy? There's a Perth Hughesy. It's not the Hughesy.
It's not the Hughesy.
It's infamously not Hughesy.
Yeah.
Oh my lord.
Change your name.
But yeah, that's a good point.
He's from England. He didn't even realize there was another David Hughes.
Oh, he moved to the wrong place.
But
I'm going to move to England and call myself the freaking Queen, dude. That's what it's like. Come here,
and then Becky's going to call you a bitch.
But again,
he tweeted that Elon Musk is short for elongated musket. And then another guest said that he heard Dave Callan use that in a show.
Whoa.
And then through the week, Charlie Clausen from from Tofop and Blue Heelers and Home and Away used it on their podcast and said he got it from Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh my God, what is the truth?
So everyone, there's four people who have stolen this tweet.
My God, whoa. I hate to bring this up, but which Dave Callan? There are two comedians in Australia called Dave Callan. Now, I hate to bring this up, but I got to get to the end of this.
The Irish one.
Okay. The dancer.
Yeah.
Okay. And by the way, the dance and the Irish one are the same one. They're the same one.
Yeah.
Next question. Just got told by one of the kids that I dress like an art history professor and I've never been so happy.
Becky.
Alexi.
Yes, Becky.
Liv?
Yes, you are correct. Yes. Point there
for
Becky.
I was so thrilled. I was so happy with myself. I rode that high for days.
Can I say, Becky, were you going to say Alexi?
No.
Oh, I thought...
Alexi, Alexi isn't allowed around kids.
Yes, tragically, I did not pass my working children check. They said that I was too funny. Wow, too funny.
Too funny, too hot.
Too gorgeous. They couldn't dress me around them.
Leave the kids all hot and bothered.
Strong risk of me starting puberty a little early. Little suckers.
Question 4. All books suck. Been saying it for years. Movies are like if books were snappy and the pages are made of gorgeous, Ben. Famous people. Yes, Ben.
I'm going to say that's Alexi.
That is Alexi. This is good. First 4, everyone's on the board. It's good.
This guy loves movies. I know that about him. We've been friends for a few years, and I've known for a while that this guy likes a movie.
Ben, only a close friend would know that about me.
Yeah, he's an interesting guy. He likes movies?
Yeah.
I'm actually nuts for them, to be honest. I think they're quite spectacular.
You froth the movie. I love that.
What is your favourite movie you've seen this year, Alexi?
The Assistant.
The Assistant? With John Travolta? No. That's The Fanatic.
That's The Fanatic. I watched that today. I actually watched The Fanatic today.
Whoa.
It made me feel sick. It's not a good movie.
Too close to your own.
I related it to it too much. I saw it as a reflection of my own life.
Next question. Women get wet, men get hard. What are we, making cement here?
Becky.
Yes, Becky.
Ben Caution.
You are correct, yes.
I like this segment because, you know, we get to see behind the tweets.
Mm.
And that is a joke I now do regularly, and can I say it does pretty well.
Oh, that's good. Sorry, that's awesome. I ruined it on the podcast then by...
I'm going to drop it now.
You're going to have to cut it. You've got to come up with someone else.
We can beep it. We can beep. I'll just say women get beep. Men get beep. What are we? Beep? Wow. Yeah. I think it still works.
You're obsessed with the human body. Your work often discusses the machinations of how the body works. Does that fascinate you?
It really does. I used to watch that show with that German guy who would sort of tear people's bodies open or a cowboy hat. Do you remember that guy?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It was this weird German guy, and he'd just like... He'd take people's bodies apart, and he had a weird cowboy hat on.
This isn't a dream you had once? Are you sure?
It could be a dream. Could be a tweet idea.
Was it? It wasn't like a kid's show, like an anatomy show? Or
I think it was for adults, and my dad made me watch it. He wanted me to know about the human anatomy. It was actually quite horrendous. He cut the human penis in half to look inside it.
Vertically or horizontally? Which way are we talking?
Sort of like a sausage sandwich. I think it was vertical.
Butterflies. Oh. You butterflied it.
If it's none of my business what goes on in there.
Maybe that's how we could figure out how old Alexi is. We cut his penis in half and we count the rings.
All right, next question.
Do not.
Anime recommendation. The opening credits to The Nanny.
Oh, that's good. Liv.
Yes, Liv.
Is that Becky?
No, that is Alexi. A point there for Alexi.
That's not a movie. That's a TV show, but it's close.
You fraud.
They're similar.
I was trying to throw you guys off. Every now and then I'll tweet about television. I'll throw people off.
What's
off
that? Sense. Television,
so
is that?
Know me. Yeah, talk about television programs, etc.
What's the best television program you've watched this year, Alexi?
I'm only watching Top Chef. From season 1 onwards, I've been marathoning it.
Do you have a favourite season of Top Chef?
Yes, season 8, Top Chef All Stars. Beautiful season of television.
Whoa. Bunch of tops.
Yes, I love the tops. Not enough bottoms on that show for me, but I like it.
Next question. Do deep sea creatures think that divers are aliens? Have they seen land? Do they know that we live here too?
Alexi.
Yes, Alexi.
Is that Liv?
That is a Liv. Yes, a point there for Alexi. Yes.
Stunning tweet.
I just can't get over the fact that there are a bunch of animals that don't know about each other. Like tigers don't know about squid. That's fucked.
Yeah.
That's weird. Roosters don't know about... Do roosters know about like axolotls? It's too much.
What? And like dogs don't know about 9/11, probably.
They don't. Some of them might.
Or do they know too much?
And if they did, they've all died since then, you know? Dogs don't live that long.
No, oh, it's only 19 years. Some dogs are more older than 19.
Like, what, five dogs? Five dogs, no.
You'd have to have a parade for the last dogs that remember 9/11.
Liv, how are we going to get a squid to meet a tiger? And how do you think a tiger would react?
Here's my thing. I'm like, okay, but they're both at the zoo sometimes. Sometimes there's a zoo and aquarium, and a tiger could be within like 100 meters of a squid.
Yeah.
So we can do this. We're so close. We just need to put a glass wall in between their enclosures and then just see what fucking happens.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, at Dream World, they would walk the tigers around.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh my god.
Yeah. So
leash
maybe.
It up and just give it a tour. Let it see the entire world.
I just want all zoo animals to play a getting to know you improv game. Yes. Is that so much to ask?
Josh, you should do this podcast, but we're all different animals.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, we'll do it over Facebook Messenger, the video chat, so you can all put your different emoji animal
little
faces
filters.
On. Yeah, it'd be nice.
That's why I think the surf and turf is a nice idea.
Yeah. You
know, when's a prawn going to meet a cow?
Prawns and cows do not know about each other.
They get to know each other quite well within my belly.
Next question. Time to hop into bed, take my melatonin and fight with racist 17-year-olds in the comments till I drift off. Who's on melatonin?
I will say Alexi is chiming in with an answer.
Yes.
I will posit that it is Becky Lucas.
Another point there for Alexi. Wow. Very well done.
Yeah.
Becky loves a comment section.
Yeah, I got... last night I got stoned and started fighting with old girls from my high school in the comments. I felt so ashamed.
How did it go?
Not well.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What were you fighting about? Anything or just everything?
Oh, she's just a conspiracy theorist.
Oh, okay. That's fun. That's great fun.
Yeah. And it's like, you should just leave them, but I just was in the mood to, like, fight, I guess, which is not a nice thing to do.
Well, you can't do that now. You told me just before the podcast that you've locked yourself out of Twitter, so you can't be doing this anymore.
Yeah, I'm not on Twitter.
I guess you can still scroll through Twitter without being in, but yeah.
Don't tell her that.
Is it because you called the queen a bitch this time?
Next question. Remember how sometimes The Simpsons would be advertised as, we promise you're absolutely going to need to bat off to Marge and Homer having sex in this episode, so it's going to be on a little later.
Ben.
Yes, Ben.
I'm going to say, because it's TV related, I'm going to go Alexi again.
You are correct. Yes,
this guy gets his wheelhouse and he stays in there.
My wheelhouse is freaking Mealhouse, dude.
I do remember that. They were like, this episode of The Simpsons is going to be like a bit raunchy, so it's on at like, what, 7?
You're going to see Marge's gorgeous little ass on.
You're going to see Marge's side, dude, probably.
Yeah. And you're going to see freaking Moe's sizzling dick tonight. So stay up till 8:30 on Channel 10.
Like, watch Marge and Homer make marital love.
Yeah, she's always like, oh, homie.
Yeah.
Homie, please fuck me, homie.
So upsetting.
There was that episode, and there was also the episode where Marge got a gun that they showed at a later time slot as well in Australia.
Oh, yeah.
And our last question for this round, Lou Bega after he's been jerking off all day. Ladies and gentlemen, that was combo number 5.
Becky.
Yes, Becky.
Ben.
Yes, you're correct, yes.
That reeks of Benny.
Another human body related one.
Oh, you just love, like, human meat.
Yeah,
I'm really interested in the human body.
That's what I like to do. I like to get people on the show, and in 3 tweets, we've got a nice picture of who they are as a person.
I'm furious now because I'm going to start singing it that way in my head every time I hear number 5.
I remember when I was a young boy and that song came out, I wanted it so bad, the single, and I made my dad go buy it for me. And he didn't know it, so we had to sing it. It's like what he thought it was to the person working at like Fish Records. I had to just start singing it.
We're looking for something. So it goes a bit like this.
I imagine he's getting all the women's names wrong.
Yeah.
It's Sharon, Clarice, Jessica,
Bula,
and Sula, Mary.
Tula.
At the end of the first round, the scores are Liv, you're on 1 point. Ben, you're on 2 points. Becky on 3 points. In the lead on 4 points, it's Alexi.
Ooh. Nice.
What a mighty day for me.
Great job, Alexi.
Thank you so much, everybody.
Now, this round is called Yeah Book. Now, in this round, we talk about our childhood, and today we're going back to a young Becky Lucas, whose friend's dad was having a hard time controlling his four children. But what happened next that made it even harder for this dad? Was it A, the kids found his diary where he was writing about how hard a time he was having? They then started writing in it, "My name is Dad and I'm a dumb cunt." That's A.
My God.
B, one of the kids walked off on him when he was talking to them, so he followed them. They went to slam the door on him and the door handle hit him in the testicles. The force caused one of them to rupture.
Oh boy.
Or C, at the school play, he fell asleep in the theatre and started snoring. His wife elbowed him to wake him up, and as she did, he did the biggest fart possible. His daughter, who was on stage, said to the whole room, "That's my dad. What a loser." Now, one of these is true. You can ask Becky as many questions as you want. Bear in mind, she wants you to get this wrong, so she gets your point. You don't have to answer together. The floor is open for questions. Ask away.
What was this? What was the school play he fell asleep in?
Oh, it was like a type of soup. It was like the Superman story. I forget the name of it, but it was like the backstory to Superman.
Wait, there was a kid's play at a high school where they're like, "Oh, this guy wrote Superman."
No, it was like Superman and like who he was as a boy and like going into that a bit more.
Like the television show Smallville.
Pretty much, yeah.
They just did the pilot episode of Smallville by a local stage production,
I think,
of it.
Like, very similar, yeah.
Schools should do actually, that. Yeah.
That's way better than like seeing some kids do like the Glass Menagerie or some shit.
And what role did your friend play in Smallville the play?
She was like one of the sisters.
Superman had sisters?
Or a step, yeah, like in this, he came from a family.
Okay.
Yeah. And she was like one of the older sisters.
Becky, how sure are you that it was a Superman play?
I'm pretty sure. Like, I remember, yeah.
It's just Superman has an established backstory, doesn't he?
Yeah,
not in the
theatre
world.
Not really, no. Not yet.
Because like, you would have thought that Spider-Man 2 also had enough movies, but then they had to have...
They did a play.
The amazing musical. Turn Off the Dark.
Turn Off the Dark with Bono and The Edge doing the music.
Yes, and that famously went very, very well, I seem to recall.
I hope to see one day a local Queensland production of it at high school.
Can I say, while we're on that topic, every listener needs to go and watch the Turn Off the Dark segment on Letterman. I think they had just a song. It is the best thing you'll ever see.
And
it is so great.
If the listeners at home enjoy that, there is a book written about Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, which chronicles every single disaster in the making of it, of which there were many.
Great.
Whoa.
It rules. Can we talk about that a bit longer?
I want to pivot and ask, so in the version of this story where his testicle is ruptured by a door handle.
I'm interested in this as well.
Yes, you are fascinated with the human body after all.
Yes, and so then what happened? Was he in like a cast? Like, did his children call an ambulance? Like, what then proceeded to happen?
I wasn't there at the time, but he had to go to hospital, and I don't think there was any... I think they had to cut a little incision into the ball. And like let some of the blood
into the actual nut or the nut sack.
The nut sack.
Okay,
God. Because there was a lot of swelling.
Yeah, Ben. And, Ben Koshin, are you at your parents' house?
No, I've actually moved out, which is pretty cool.
I was hoping we could get your dad in to ask about that ruptured ball sack.
Could
he
you
absolutely
call him?
Would
you mind calling him?
I could.
Doctor Koshin, we need questions about a ruptured ball sack immediately.
Oh, is your dad a doctor?
He is a doctor.
No, he just loves ball
sacks.
He's a ball doctor specifically.
Oh, I thought you were calling back to that German show that he just really liked the anatomy, so he would know about this.
Well, that's why he wanted me to watch that show. I think he wanted me to be a doctor.
He's a ball doctor.
But is he really?
Sounds like it would have scared you off immediately.
He wanted to be a bum doctor, like proctology or whatever. What are they called?
Yeah, that's right.
Proctologist,
but he missed the deadline, so he had to go into balls.
Becky, how did you know this family?
I was friends with the the child, Ingrid.
Ingrid. Yeah. And how did they tell you about this? Were they just like, oh man, I read my dad's diary. It sucked. It's so sad. Or
I was there the day that... So we used to bully him all the time, like the family especially. And then he started seeing a therapist.
Heavens.
And then we found this diary one day, and in it there was all different, like, it was like Friday, 4:57, ask Terrence to do the dishes. His response, get fucked. It was like all different, like, time codes and, like, behavioural. So we then just flipped forward a bit and started writing in the diary, like, oh God, did a big shit.
And you participated in this.
Yeah, yeah.
Did he ever find what you'd written?
Yeah. And apparently what happened? Apparently he stood up really quietly and left for like a few days.
Wow. For a few days?
Yeah, like he left the home.
He was really upset. Did you feel proud when you heard about that?
I felt kind of worried.
See, this podcast, this has gone from laughing about ruptured testicles to now I'm feeling sorry for this dad. If the diary one is true.
Where did you find the diary?
Oh, it was just maybe like in one of the kitchen drawers, I think.
He's got to hide that better.
Yeah, that's a classic man. That's just a rookie mistake. Just chucking in a kitchen drawer.
Yeah. Also, he was writing this diary at the behest of a therapist.
Mm. Yeah.
And he was chronicling, like, the treatment of his children towards him.
Yes, yeah.
So would the was there any follow-up? Did the therapist ever be like, bring your kids in? Did he continue seeing them?
I'm actually not sure. Like, I sort of stopped hanging out with the girl, like, kind of in the next couple of months. So I forget what actually happened there.
Because she was really sad. Because the girl was always a downer because she was sad about not having a dad anymore.
Did you lead this cause to write a hurtful note for the dad in the diary? Did you lead this?
I didn't lead it, but I was swept up in it.
Can't believe you burn booked somebody's dad. It's brutal.
I know. It was just so fun. Like, you couldn't help it. Like, we always used to bully him. We used to tie his stuff to fireworks and let fire...
Oh, my
like,
God.
So his shoes and stuff would, like, go off into the sky.
Do you think he was into it?
No.
Okay. I don't know. I'm torn here. I think
I know which one.
You're going to lock in?
Therapist-mandated kitchen diary and then no consequences for it, even from, like, his wife or anything. I don't know. I'm having a hard time believing that. Mm. I think I'm going to lock in the exploding ball sack.
Okay, so Liv, you have gone with B, exploding or ruptured.
B for ball sack, yes.
Yeah, ruptured testicle. So, okay, so Ben, you think you know what it is?
I'm going to go the diary.
Ben is going the diary, thinking that they wrote in the diary. And Alexi?
I'm also thinking the diary as well.
And also the diary. The correct answer was A, the diary. Yes. So a point there for Becky, Ben and Alexi. No point for Liv, I'm sorry.
Once I figured out Becky was an active participant, I was like, this has to be true.
That's crazy. That's a batshit story.
I know.
Yeah, Becky Lucas, awful. The original mean girl.
It was a crazy time.
There was no fallout? Like, did this girl throw you under the bus and say it was all Becky's idea, it's her handwriting, or...?
No, like, the bullying was so persistent. There was four kids that, like, just gave him such a hard time that this wasn't even the worst thing.
God, to bully a parent, that's, like, sensational. It's giving me chills.
Yeah.
Wow. To go back, I would do it. I would go back and bully parents.
And the mum didn't really respect him either. It was really weird.
Oh, no.
I feel like that's the type of dad I'm going to be.
Yeah.
I get the sense.
It's a good... I think that's a good way to be as a dad, like, let people disrespect you a bit.
Yeah. But if I read in the, diary someone wrote, did a big shit, I think I'd laugh. I think I'd say that's pretty good.
It's like, oh, you got me.
You got me.
So at the end of that round, the scores are Liv still on 1 point, Ben now on 3 points, Becky on 4 points, but still in front on 5 points. It's Alexi.
Woohoo.
All right, this round is called Yeah, Nah, Yeah. In this round, each of you are given a fact about someone else on the panel. If you think it's true, you'll say yeah. If it's a lie, you'll say nah. You get a point if you get it right. A point to the person the fact may or may not be about if you're incorrect. So ask them as many questions, try and get the truth. Here we go. So to Becky.
Yes.
Now, growing up, Alexi had a long tuft of hair growing from his Adam's apple. His grandmother was adamant that he was not to remove it because she believed it gave him his powers. Yeah or nah?
What sort of powers?
Like Samson powers from the Bible. Like, if I were to shave this hair, I would no longer have strength, kindness, compassion, beauty, generosity, all the virtuous powers that one would have growing up, hairy and Greek.
Okay. Well, and you don't have it anymore.
Well, you see, the rest of my facial hair caught up to it when I hit puberty, so I just started shaving, and then I did no longer have that tuft of hair.
Okay.
And no longer have the powers either.
Well, you know, the powers manifest differently. I got hair all over my body now.
And what, were you embarrassed by it, the hair?
Terribly so. Yeah, terribly so. It was strange. To be a little boy with a little goatee, like a little goat tuft of hair, like a little billy goat, not good.
So whereabouts on your neck are we talking?
Like, right, it would be here, with the crease of the neck.
On the where the Adam's apple is. Mm. Yep.
Where Adam's apple would be were I a thinner man, Josh, if that's what you're trying to say?
No, I was describing where you were pointing to the listener.
I'm going to say nah.
Becky, you are incorrect. This is a true story about
this is true.
Alexi.
Alexi, I have to know how long the tuft was. Yeah.
It was probably like 3 centimetres, perhaps 5 centimetres.
All right. Wow. It's pretty noticeable. And was it dark in colour, or was it like the peach fuzz that a boy will have on his lips?
It was just slightly darker than peach fuzz. Okay. Slightly darker.
Jesus.
Yeah, it was weird, and I forget that it happened. But
That's cool.
It like was a whole part of my life for like probably 11, 12 years.
So all the little things, huh?
Mm, yeah. Little things, you know? It was. I wish I could get it back.
Yeah.
I kind of miss it now.
When you shaved it off, was there a big uproar in the family, or was it...
They were kind of like...
My son is a man
probably,
now.
Yeah, I guess it was probably time. They were like, oh, yeah. I think they all liked it. All my mum and my yaya, they liked it.
Do you think it was just the hormones around here that were, like, producing... Mm. Whoa.
I had throaty hormones.
Yeah.
And I was just like, we got to get this voice to go real deep.
All right. Your Adam's apple was leaking hormone.
Yeah.
Okay, to Alexi. When Liv was a child, their parents would not allow any of the children to have chewing gum, so Liv, out of desperation, would chew on Blue Tack as a replacement.
My words. What does Blue Tack taste like?
Nothing. It doesn't really have a flavor. It's a textural experience.
Would it... I think I used to chew Blue Tack as well. only a few times. But it would... Okay, so now I can accurately ask questions. Now I've had this sensory memory just appear back into my head.
Happy to remind you.
How would it chew? What was the texture like? How would it move within your mouth?
Okay, so it's a process, and I would hang on to it for too long. Like, this would be hours sometimes. And it starts off, like, squeaky, like cheese curd almost, or it's like it has a snap quality to it. And then it gradually, like, as it warms up and gets your spit in it, it gets, like, aerated and sort of feathery.
Josh, I'm going to lock in true.
Alexi, you are correct. This is a true story, yes.
Wow. I can validate this, yes.
Yeah,
you spoke very honestly.
So funny.
It was a constant struggle. The big struggle with Blue Tack was because I was like, I've hacked this. I can have like the experience of chewing gum, but you can't really blow bubbles with Blue Tack. It's not designed for it.
It's hard. Very difficult. You can't chew it and blow the bubble. You can only like create a very small texture first and then blow through it.
Exactly. That's exactly what happened.
That's what life experience, like, that makes this game better. Because, like, if Alexi had never done that himself, he would not have been able to put himself in Liv's shoes.
I'm an incredibly empathetic person. So if I have shared an experience, I can relive that experience.
That's just remembering stuff, Alexi. Yeah. That's just recall.
Liv, did your parents know you were doing this?
I don't think so, because I think I would have had a stop put to it. I also used to eat paper, and they found out about that and were like, don't do that anymore, you little freak. But
eat the paper and like the whole thing, you just eat it?
Your parents would put up a poster and you go, that's a whole meal. That is.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm going to tear little shreds off this for the next week. I got away with the Blue Tack for a long time. Too long, some might say.
When was the last time you chewed on Blue Tack?
I'm just trying to think about that. I'm trying to remember.
Hey, why don't you give one some a chew just for old times?
Yeah.
Yeah, I might after we're done. I might see if there's any blue tack in the house.
We're going to share a pack. We're going to share a pack sometime.
I would love that. I would love that. I think about 12 is maybe the last time I did it.
The same time I lost my hairs on my chinny chin chin.
You and me, man. We're on the same wavelength.
Okay, so to live at a gig Ben was on at, a couple turned up on their wedding day. The bride was in her dress. The guy was in his tuxedo. The guy went up to the comedians and said it was his wedding day and his dream was to try stand-up comedy. The comics let him up on stage and the guy bombed hard for 5 minutes. Yeah or nah?
I'm obsessed with this. This is brilliant. Okay. They had gotten married that day?
Yeah.
Where had they gotten married?
I don't know, but the gig was one of the worst open mics in Sydney. It's the Sweeney's Hotel.
Oh, okay.
One of the most disgusting places you'll ever go.
Had you ever, had anyone ever seen that man there before? Like, was he an audience member?
No, he just did it that day, I think.
Did he drag the bride there begrudgingly, or was she also enthusiastic?
It seemed like it, because he sort of pointed her out in the crowd, like, and there's my new wife, and she looked very unhappy to be there.
And was he genuinely so terrible that people couldn't get behind him on his wedding day?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. It's a terrible gig in the first place. And he just bombed so
But
bad.
Surely on your wedding day, you get at least 30 seconds of good grace from the audience going, oh, wow, yeah.
Wow, he got married.
He might have got a round of applause at the start. Possibly.
Do you remember anything he said?
Not really. He was quite unmemorable other than the fact that he was in a tuxedo.
I once did a gig at the Mic in Hand at up in Sydney, and they had the thing where newcomers, brand newcomers would go up. And a guy went up there and went, oh, my name is, oh, no, I can't do this. This is too scary. And he kind of went to walk off. And I went, no, come on, you can do it. Come on. And the MC went up, come on, mate, you can do it. You can do it. And he went, oh, all right. And everyone was cheering him on. And then in the matter of 20 seconds, he lost the whole room by just telling the worst jokes. And then this was way, way back when, like, Sam Bowring and Kent Valentine were running it. And so they just turned the music up on him. And he went, oh, no, no, no. Wow. I'll do my Dame Edna impression.
No.
And then they went, no, 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 no. He goes, all right, I'll do my Frank Spencer. Ooh, and just went into, and they had to literally drag him off the stage. Wow. And it was
with an old-timey hook.
Yeah, it was one of those greatest of, he had the whole room in the palm of his hands and lost him in a second. Wow. It was great.
That is such a beautiful moment for someone to go like, I can't do this. And then everyone hates it, but they somehow get wrapped up in like the adrenaline of being on stage.
I love an audience. I love open mic comedy so much. I love the horrors of it. I can't get enough of it. And I'm obsessed with, like, when did he tell the other wedding guests that this was what they were going to do right after? Did his fucking best man try to talk him out of it? Like, everything about this makes me so happy.
Well, it was just them two, and I think they probably got the marriage annulled right after that.
Yeah.
What time of day was this? Like, had they left their own reception?
It was a Tuesday night around
7:30. Who gets married on a Tuesday?
That's the saddest detail, that they're getting married on Tuesday.
Well, yeah, I think that maybe it was just like just them two, you know, like they just go to wherever you get married.
But they still got dressed up.
Yeah, well, that's, yeah, cute. That's true.
I need this to be true. I'm going to lock in that this happened. I want this to have happened.
Liv, you are correct. Yes, it is a true story.
Oh, that's true.
Sweeney's is a great place because, like, every single floor, there's four floors and they all smell like a different bodily function. Like, the ground level smells like cum, and then the open mic level smells like piss, and then sort of the third level smells like...
The rooftop smells like dandruff.
Smells like Head and Shoulders.
All right, so a point there for Liv. You got a point, Liv. All right, now to Ben. When Becky was 8 years old, she was diagnosed as a child genius. Her parents enrolled her into an accelerated learning program, but after the first one, Becky refused to go back because she said all the kids are weirdos and they only want to talk about schoolwork. Yeah or nah?
I mean, not to compliment her too much, but she does seem like a bit of a genius.
I'm
same as Alexia. Not that I have a hair on my But I was like a child genius as well for like.
That's why we got on so well.
Yeah, and then
we
speak
the same language.
I think I became dumber as the years went on. Like at the start, I was really smart.
But what was your specialty as a kid?
The human body.
PE.
Identifying smells relating to the human bodily functions.
As a 6-year-old, I was great at PE. No, I think I was like a bit of a science whiz and a bit of a maths guy. But I don't know if I have any questions. I'm just going to say yes, it's true.
You're going to say it's true? Well, there you go, Becky. He thinks highly of you, but it's not true. It's a lie.
Oh, boy. Now I feel like a real idiot.
You're rude.
Yeah, that's so nice. So, like, I feel good about myself.
Do you like the compliment, Becky? Because I actually wrote it thinking, yeah, people would believe that Becky was a child genius.
Oh, thanks. I wasn't.
Is that a compliment, though? I know that's a compliment, Becky.
Yeah, it's a big compliment.
Oh. Well, we all went downhill.
I have a spark in the eye.
But I also believe the part of you thinking all the other kids were weirdos. That, you know, that really checked out.
You also believe the mean bit.
Yeah. And open face compliment sandwich.
At the end of the round, the scores are Liv now on 2 points, Ben on 3 points, Becky on 5 points, but in the lead by 2 points on 7 points. It's Alexi.
Ooh. Aha.
Right, this is
a wonderful day for me.
Well, it's our final round. Can you hold on? It's called Hoo-Hoo. In this round, I'll read out 10 questions all about you four. If you think you know who it's about, buzz in. Your names are your buzzers. You get a point if you get right, a point off if you get it wrong. Only round you're going to lose points. Here we go. Who here has a box from childhood with a dismembered head in it that is labelled Keep Out Sad Secrets?
Becky.
Yes, Becky.
Liv.
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Becky, yes.
It's a head of an angel statue that was like a present that I really cared about, and then I broke it by accident and I cried for days. For days I wept about it.
But as a child to write sad secrets, that is...
I know. It's like, stay away because it'll hurt me. So
that's why
vulnerable.
You just got nominated for an award.
If you open up that box for your next performance, I guarantee big awards.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, that's my Academy campaign.
Next question. Who here once bred 64 mice without their mum knowing?
Alexi.
Yes, Alexi.
Becky.
You are correct. A point there for Alexi, yeah.
She loves little rodent-like creatures.
They're so cute.
Did you do it on purpose or was it an accident?
It was an accident, sort of. I could see that there were more and more mice being born and I should have said something, but I just wanted to see what could happen.
and what dreams may come. Yeah. What will happen?
How long are mice pregnant for? Or how quickly is this happening?
5 minutes, I believe.
Like only like a week or 2 weeks.
Wow.
Oh my word.
And
the babies had more babies. Like it happened very quickly.
All with their own brothers and sisters. Are they?
In the cage. Sorry?
So the mice had babies with their brothers and sisters. Is that how?
Yeah.
So how it works with mice?
Yeah. It's all good.
Ah.
They don't care. There's none of these pesky kind of...
Yeah. Hey, don't yuck their yum. I love that saying.
Next question. Who here had a panic attack in a sensory deprivation tank?
Liv.
Becky. Yes, Liv.
Alexi.
Yes, you are correct, yes. Point there for Liv.
Whoa. Yes.
That is true. I received a very stressful email minutes before I went into a sensory deprivation tank and I couldn't unwind in there. I just kept getting stressed and thinking about it. I took my watch in there so I could just like see what time it was and how long I had left. And then I just ended up getting out and just walking around like naked in this weird room in this like strip mall.
I have often thought that I would freak out in one of those things. I'm sympathetic to your point.
I had a similar situation, Alexi. I did 3 flotation tank things because I had a 3-pack there. And on the second one, the first one I really enjoyed it. The second one, just before I went in, I got a notification on my phone and it was like, Carl Chandler has tagged you in a post. And I was like, oh no, this is going to be some bullying. And I didn't check it. And when I was lying in there, I was like, I should have checked that because that's all I can think about. What has he tagged me in? And so I was just lying there uncomfortable for like a whole hour. I didn't get out though and check it. I was like, I better do the right thing.
I will commit to being distressed in here.
Yeah. Who was your email from, Alexi?
It was really bad. It was from... it's pretty bad. I don't know if I can say
no,
it.
No, don't
What's
say
a statutal...
No, I remember you said it on the live stream now. And so I know the story. So
I was involved in a heist. Yes. And it was us getting caught for being in a heist. I don't want to be too specific. It was Dendy Cinemas.
It involved Henry Stone.
Yeah,
okay.
Henry and Stone and I got up to some no good, and we got our asses handed to us.
The email said no more chop tops.
Basically.
A fate worse than death.
My chop top days are over.
Next question. Who, as a child, touched the hot grill on purpose just to test whether or not the adults were telling them the truth?
Becky.
Oh. Yes, Becky.
Ben?
No, that was Liv.
Hello. They
I
were,
trust adults.
It turns out. It turns
I
out
trust
they
all adults.
The
it couldn't be me.
You were always pushing the limits, Liv.
Oh, man. It's like, oh, Chewing that's really hot. Type. Don't touch it. I'm like, really? Yeah, it is. It is.
You
really
have an
hot.
Inquisitive mind, and you shouldn't be punished for that.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Next question. Who fainted in Vietnam while getting a piercing?
Liv.
Yes, Liv.
Ben.
Yes, you are correct. A point there for Liv.
Yes.
That's the one crazy thing I've done in my life. That's the only thing I've done. I tried to get the top of my ear pierced.
Oh, I got one of them.
When I was 18. And,
oh, wow.
And we drank a lot of Hanoi vodka. And I think that makes your blood flow increase.
It does.
From what I know about the human body. And so they pierced it and it just started bleeding everywhere. And the guy left the room and then I fainted.
Whoa.
You poor dear.
Yeah.
Because Liv, you had a piercing. Was yours on your hand?
Yeah, I used to have a finger piercing when I was 17.
Brother.
Whoa. Yeah. It's like a Prince Albert of the hand.
Yeah, it is.
So in the webbing or on the
No, it was
skin
on my left ring. It was on my left ring finger, like a bar through the skin on the top.
Louise. I'm so
Did
squeamish.
It feel strange every time you put your hand in your pocket?
Dude, I couldn't put my hand in my pocket because I was so scared of it getting ripped out.
Yachi mama.
Here's the thing. That piercing didn't survive very long because it's a bad idea. It's a bad place to get a piercing. You use your hands for everything. It gets infected a lot. It was very cool.
Oh, my heavens. I don't know what to say. Did you ever get, did you come up with that? Did you invent that?
No, it turns out that's a thing. It's not a common thing, but it's a thing that people have done.
Oh, my gosh.
And continue to do.
I think I'm going to do it.
You should get one on every finger.
I can live a little more dangerously. Yeah.
You should get your Adam's apple.
Yeah, with little hairs. I want to get little whiskers implanted in.
With your piercing, have a little, something hanging off it.
A little frill.
Yeah. All right, next question. Who here has a fear of mascots?
Becky.
Yes, Becky.
Ben?
No, it's Liv. Point off, Becky.
Sorry.
I hate them. I hate them so much.
Why?
Yeah, does this come from something?
You know what? I've thought about this because it's not particularly rational. It's not just mascots. It's like people dressed in those big costumes at Disneyland or like on Hollywood Boulevard and stuff.
Yes.
And I think what it is, because I've been scared of them forever since I was a kid, it's this feeling of that's a cartoon character. They shouldn't be here. This is the 3D world.
Yes.
Yeah.
Why are you here? And that episode of The Simpsons where Homer comes into the three-dimensional universe scared the shit out of me. So I think it's something about the uncanny valley-ness of you're two-dimensional. Be gone.
Yeah. Also, it's just a sweaty dude in there. Could be a fear of men.
Yeah, well, listen. There's something to that.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Ask you, Becky, when you've been what is it like being a woman in comedy? Can you just go into that for a
moment? It's so crazy.
And Ben, where do you come up with your ideas? Is the other one?
Usually I go on Twitter and I look up people with big tweets and then I do them on stage.
He steals Dave Hughes' tweets. But not the English one.
Yeah.
Our Aussie Dave Hughes.
Yeah.
Mr. Perth's Dave Hughes.
David Hughes. Hello, David Hughes.
All right, next question. Who here had a teacher who, if asked, would do a weird operatic rendition of The Tide Is High?
The Tide Is High.
The Tide Is High, the Blondie song.
The tide is
high. And I'm holding on.
Does anyone want to guess who it was?
Oh, man.
I think I know, but I don't want to say his name again.
Is it Liv?
Yes, Liv.
Bam.
Yes, you are correct. Yes. Is that who you were going to say, Becky?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was so funny. She was like a substitute teacher who also had done a bit of acting. And I don't know how some kids worked out that she would sing that song for you if you begged her. And so we were like, please, please sing it. And then she would literally do this weird operatic version. She's like, the tide is high and I move. And everyone would be like, you're so good.
You have such a beautiful voice, miss.
You have a beautiful voice. Thank you so much. She was so mean. She was terrible. It was really bad.
She would have got home, her husband's like, how was work? And she's like, you know what? Really good. Really good today.
Sometimes it's not work.
I feel like those kids are teaching me.
Yeah.
Next question. Who once witnessed an English woman complaining about all of Australia's snakes and spiders when at that moment a snake fell from the roof and landed on top of her?
Oh, my God.
Alexi.
Yes, Alexi.
Becky.
You are correct. Yes, it was Becky.
She would always talk about Murphy's Law. She was always like, the thing with Murphy's Law, but she'd always use it in the wrong way.
Yeah.
And then one day, honestly, like we were sitting around, she was just here visiting. She was like, I'm so sick of Australia. I don't want to be here anymore. And she was like going on and on and on about how much she hated all the snakes and spiders. And she was staying in someone's house who did have a very like creepy crawly house. And at that moment, the ceiling started to cave in and a snake fell from the roof and landed on her shoulders.
No way.
Well, that's the thing about Murphy's Law, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. It was so funny.
Next question. Who once stopped three jokes into a set because they asked the crowd if they could swear and the crowd said no?
Alexi.
Yes, Alexi.
This is Benny, for sure.
Yes, this Benny is Ben, yes.
Was this the gig at the temple that you did?
It wasn't at a temple, but it was for a lot of religious Jews. It was so bad. It was so funny.
Oh, that's
so
the best.
You were filling in for another comedian, is that right?
Yeah, another Jewish comedian asked me to do it.
This, by the way, is my favourite story of all time. When Ben told me this story, I was crying.
Yeah, I remember it happened and it was on Friday night and it was so funny. I raced over to Green Lights because I wanted to tell everyone.
I think I know the comedian you were filling in for.
Yeah, David Smeat.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. And this guy just kept asking me if I wanted to stand on a chair because they had no stage and no microphone. And I kept being like, no, I'm fine. And then a rabbi who was in the front row, he was like, do you want to wear my hat? And he had this big black religious hat. Because it was Friday night and like I didn't have a yarmulke on. And I was like, yeah, sure, I'll wear your hat. And so I put it on. I looked like a Jewish Clint Eastwood. And then I did like my first two jokes bombed. And then like my next joke, I have like a big swear word in it. So I was like, can I swear? And everyone in the crowd was like, no. Like they all said no at the same time. And then I was like fumbling. I like couldn't think of what joke to do next. And then the guy who gave me the hat goes, he's got no material. And it crushed so hard.
Oh, no.
Everyone was laughing. And I was like, oh, Jesus.
Bombing in another man's hat is so funny.
Were you standing on
the chair?
Yeah.
But you weren't standing on the chair though, were you?
Well, oh, yeah. I forgot that at one point during the first two jokes, he was like, hey, I got you a chair. And he brought me the chair. And so I stood on the chair.
He stood on the chair in his hat.
Yeah. And then after I was like bombing, the guy came up to me and I was like, I think I've got to stop. And he was like, what if we move your chair over there? I was like, it's not about the chair, dude. It's got nothing to do with the chair. Oh, man. It was actually funny. I loved it.
That's amazing.
I was enjoying it while it was happening.
And our last question for the game. Who here once had a man try to sell them a bag full of dildos on the bus?
Liv.
Yes, Liv.
Becky?
No, that was Alexi. Off Liv, yeah.
I just feel like men don't usually do that kind of creepy shit to each other.
Yeah.
you know.
Well, but Alexi is very kind.
Yeah, I was the one sucker it happened to.
Opportunity. Be proud of yourself.
Yeah, this was when I was in Los Angeles, and this guy, like, on the bus just came up to me. He was an older gentleman, and he was just like, "Are you Greek?" And then I said, "Yes." And then he started speaking to me in perfect Greek, but he wasn't Greek. He told me that he was Mexican. And then he had this little bag full of things he opened up to show me, and it was just all these old dildos. He was trying to sell them to me.
Old?
Yes.
Old dildos?
You could what see do you mean that by they that? Had you could see that there was wear and tear upon these items. There was age to them. There was grit, there was grime. And he was just showing them to me and like putting his fingers like, "You see this? This is really good. This is good stuff." And he's speaking to me in like fluent Greek the whole time. He's speaking like fluent Greek. And then me and my friends got off the bus and they were like, "What the fuck happened? That guy just started talking Greek and just showing you dildos. What the hell was going on?"
Did you then?
And you're like, "I don't know, but I got a really good price for all these dildos."
You then had to translate that conversation to the friends you were with?
Well, I couldn't just let them know. Like, they might have thought that I asked, "What's in your bag? Can I please buy whatever's in there?"
Jesus Christ.
At the end of the game, the scores are Ben on 3 points, Becky on 4 points, Liv on 4 points, but our winner, double figures, 10 points. It's Alexi Toliopoulos.
Oh, my God. Blew us out of the water, dude.
Congratulations.
Well, you've won now, Alexi. Not only the game, but also our hearts. Now, Alexi, because you win, you can plug whatever you want to plug first. You've got a bunch of podcasts people can hear you at.
Yes, I will be oversaturating your podcast feeds in the near future. Please forgive me. They're all of high quality. Cameron James and I host Total Reboot, a podcast about movies every week. And I can announce this for you guys. This is like a premiere announcement. October 30th is the premiere date of Finding Drago Series 2.
Exciting.
About a whole brand new mystery that Cameron and I have uncovered. And it is called Finding Desperado is the name of the new season.
Yes. So good.
And it is about us. The teaser I'll tell you, we found a Guinness World Record that we think is fake.
Oh, nice.
And that's what it is, yeah.
It's going to be awesome. It.
So 6 episodes starting October 30th on the ABC Listen app and Apple Podcasts, etc.
Excellent. Liv Houston, where can people find you or watch you?
Around. I'm Liv Houston on Twitter, Liv.Houston on Instagram, and I'm in stuff, and yeah, I'm present.
Great. Ben Koshin, where can people find you?
I'd love people to follow my little Twitter so they can hear about all the little bodily functions I'm tweeting about.
It's more than just bodily functions. I just picked 3.
Yeah, and come to the best comedy room in Australia, Everly Comedy, every Sunday at the Everly Hotel. And it's very COVID safe, never more than 6 people in the room. And it's been that way for the last 3 years as well.
It was a hotspot though, time. Right, Ben, a couple of weeks ago?
Hotspot for comedy, maybe, yeah.
And Becky Lucas, where can people find you?
Oh, just the same. Just if you follow me on Instagram, it will inevitably lead to, announcements and what have you.
Great.
Yeah.
Hey, thanks everyone for playing. This is heaps of fun. I'll see you next time.
Bye.
That was very fun.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.